Blog Talk Radio.
I feel the master.
I feel him.
Y'all ready? They ready. Well, come on. Well, come on. Y'all ready? They ready. We ready. We ready.
This is Talking Sports Plus. I am Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, the host, and so glad to be here. It is good because God has blessed us to see another day. We want you to be a part of the voice of the historical black colleges and universities, high school, and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. We also have co-host that come and join me and have one already on the line, so we're going to bring him live. We've got to have an awesome introduction for us. But when we're talking about sports, we'll focus on things that you may not hear because ESPN or any other major network may not want to carry. So we want to take the opportunity and use this vessel to get the word out. So we want you to be a part of WBSW Internet Talk Radio by calling in. Your call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line by identifying the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number that asks you to offer your location as well as your expertise, your comments, or your questions. Now, if you want to check us out on the web link, it's www.blogtalkradio.com/WBSW Internet Talk Radio. Again, www.blogtalkradio.com/WBSW Internet Talk Radio. If you want to tweet the show, you have a great opportunity to do that. You can check us out at the Smith Wave Production, at WBSW_internet_talk_radio, at Tremaine Edwards with the number 7, at Coach with a K _L_Smith. At Elliot Darrell with the number 1, at Talking Sports Plus with the number 1. And if you want to check us out on Instagram, we give a shout out to those brothers of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, Zeta Phi Sigma Chapter out of Greenville, Alabama. We're partnered with them, making sure we get the word out through their Instagram. So you can check us out on Zeta Phi Sigma Greenville with the number 10. Or you can take an opportunity and you feel a burst of excitement, you want to check us out, you can go to at Lorenzo D. Smith 15. Or you can check us WBSW Internet Talk Radio. You have an opportunity to be a part of this, and that's what we want you to do. We have an awesome show planned for tonight. I want to take this opportunity to share those individuals that serve as the co-host for stepping in from time to time. We also give a shout out to those people that's joined us so far. That's Angela.co. Thank you so much. Look, hey, Pickett, thank you. Of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. And we want to give a shout out for Angela. Come look at it. I'm assuming she's a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Just look at the blue on there. If I'm wrong, please correct me. Also, those individuals that say join us at Google, we got to make sure we shout them out. Because when they join in on that volunteer basis, we said thank you so much. We have Coach, and we said Coach with a K, Lauren B. Smith. She's a millennial, a little bit over that time, but she's a millennial and a lady of the hour. Also, another lady of the hour, I have Coach Sarita Duncan. She's an author, life coach, also the owner of the River Region General Semi-Pro Basketball Program, semi-pro basketball teams. as well as Coach Tremaine Edwards up there from that northern part of the state, the man that was 6 championships in regards to middle school basketball on the girls' side, 5 championships in boys' basketball on the middle school level in a row. We said 5 in a row, and 2 football championships. And he also moved from Chapman Middle School to a school over in Madison called Madison Middle School, and now he was a runner-up for the championship in basketball and football. Keep doing what you're doing, Coach Smith. Coach Edwards. He's one of the Smith clan. We like to give a shout out like that every now and then. Keep doing what you're doing. Also, we want to give a shout out to Coach Marvin Smith. We call him Coach, even though he works in the capacity and do a lot of things. He's one on that field, and he's making sure everybody's doing right as an official, and making sure the game is going smoothly, making sure the rules are enforced. We call him Coach Marvin Smith. Then we want to give a shout out to this young man. He's our radio personality. Join us from time to time. We thank him so much because, well, I know his time is so valuable. He's doing some awesome things over at the Big KP, none other than our frat brother. That's Brother Marvin. And our last person we're going to introduce, and I'll make sure I give him a shout as well, member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, we have the Don King of all things. Don King, just making things happen. He's the conductor of the E-Train, none other than Brother. And we say, Coach, Darrell E-Train Elliott. And last but not least, got to get his young man a raving introduction. So we're so glad to have him because he's out of South Central Alabama. And I'm going to say it like that. That's that central south of that middle part of the state of Alabama. He comes to you bearing many years of experience, many championships. I can tell you that now. He has so many championships that he went on to combine them all in one ring. And I got so jealous that the man, I got to catch up with him because I know he's making it do what it do. Worked with the Alabama High School Athletic Association before retiring at 18. He was the associate executive director. None other than my fraternity brother, VP of Zeta Phi Sigma Greenville chapter, Coach Tony Touchdown Stalwart. How you doing, Coach Stalwart?
How you doing, my brother? How you doing, brother? It's a thrill just to tune in because you make me feel like somebody, and I said to myself, you know what? That's what I needed this week.
Hey, we can lift you up. We can lift you up. We're going to make sure we do it. Thank you for joining us, bro. We got an awesome format for today. Thank you so much. Oh, we want to, and you know, I introduced this young man, but he hadn't popped on the line, but he's on the line now. We call him the King. So I don't have to do anymore but just say the King with the 6 and the 5 and the 2 and having those 2 runners up this past year, none other from North Alabama, our King. Coach Tremaine,
how y'all doing tonight?
Elwood. How you doing, sir? I hear you.
Glad to have you,
man. I tell you, we get 3 or 4 more in here, we'll be making the thing do what it do. But that's what it's all about. We want to focus on some historical black college and university athletics as well as some high school. And we're going to make sure we touch on some middle school in the southeastern part of the United States. Our title for tonight's show is College Sports Heading Toward a New Normalcy. And that's what we're talking about. We know a lot of things are going on, and we want to make sure that when we come into this fall, we'll be on track to move toward that normalcy, that if it works through like we want to, and in 22, things will be back to that normalcy. It may be a new norm, but it's a normalcy we're asking for. So we want to talk about that tonight. So, co-hosts, I'm going to ask you on to take an opportunity. We're going to look at a couple topics. We're going to start off with our coach's corner tonight, and we're going to do that because we want to look at some things that are being not only affecting your Division I, but your Division I AA, as well as your Division II and your Division III. That is the transfer portal. And I want you to kind of share your thoughts. What effect is that transfer portal at this point having on the college football, because you know that they do not have to sit out a year anymore. They can go straight from one college to another college. I saw things happening today in the SWAC that can make a difference for certain teams. What's your thoughts on it?
Basically,
diving,
my brother Smith.
You got it, Tony? Starwer? Go ahead, Starwer.
You know, I think the transfer portal was put in place, and I think, as everything else, sometimes some things get to be overused and sometimes get to be abused. However, it has a lot of strength. Because here's what happened. Let's go Division I schools. Let's go Division II schools. Let's go throw in our historical black university, NEAC, SWAC, et cetera, PAA or whatever. And we look at so many kids, especially places like the state of Florida and Georgia. That typified numbers. Alabama's right there, but those, and maybe throw in Mississippi. But those two have so many schools at high level and so many kids, and they have just so many scholarships. Well, they get caught up in that numbers game and end up on those rosters, for example, and no offense to Alabama, because Alabama's going to sign them all anyway. If you got that five-star behind you, you're at the row. They'll find a place for you. I don't know how they get them all in there, but they'll find a place. But that's a topic for another day. Anyway, well, you know, you get in there, and let's take Jalen Hurts for an example. And sometimes you get caught up in that numbers game, and you just need a way out. And it worked out very good for him. He got out of there. He moved on. And he not only just he made a high pick, second round, he also starting quarterback now, projected in the National Football League. So look at that. Then you got something just like Rabbit Hop. Ain't going to do nothing in one place, ain't going to do nothing in another, but they want to be here and want to be there. So it has its strengths, and it has, you know, I has its positives, and it has its negatives. But I really think that it's something that, if it's controllable, may put in something like a student has to have a particular rationale for transfer and just don't say, I'm going to cook another bread and I'm up out of here. So, you know, and then it benefits the lower-level school. Now, let's put all that in there. And we get a few of them from Division One and they're not quite happy. You know, we can roll. So it has its pluses and minuses. It has its positive and its negative. And I think it's work in progress, so to speak.
Awesome. Coach Trey.
I agree with totally with Coach Stallworth. Like Nick Saban said, the rich is gonna get richer with this new rule. Guys that are not at, you know, at Power Five schools that are legit are gonna come right up into Power Five schools. If they can play, they're gonna play. And you got a lot of Power Five players that are not happy where they are. Like Alabama getting the five-star receiver from Ohio State. So, and for you to say you eligible immediately puts a different narrative on it. So right now you don't have to sit out. You jumping straight in the spring practice. You jumping straight in the summer workout. So it's going to get real, like Coach Stallworth said, but the rich is going to get richer with it.
Exactly, and that's awesome what both coaches said right there. See, the only difference when we talk about the graduate transfer with not sitting out here, now you can be a freshman, I can be whatever,
right,
and you can transfer. And how it's playing really, and we want to kind of focus on, you know, historical black colleges and university, just like Jackson State quarterback that started for like four, Jones started for four games. Well, Jalen Jones, I think that's his name, he was sat down by the coach, and he ended up transferring to Alabama A&M. That's only strengthening Alabama A&M in their future. And he don't have to sit out because glad to be up for this year, but he can learn behind, but he has 3 years to go. You take, for example, locally, Alabama State losing their top receiver. He put his name in the transfer portal, as well as a defensive back. So they're losing, but they one player from one of the other schools, I can't remember exactly, was a receivable, smaller guy. He's transferred. But also looking at the website today, ASU is in line for Jackson State's starting wide receiver. He's on the transfer report. So it's a whole different ballgame. And I think it was said by Nick Saban. Nick Saban said, you know, you want to come up with a rule called the Nick Saban rule, but you don't want to do this because the rich going to get richer. This may happen more when you see the rich get richer on the level of the Vision 1. But you remember now, you have a lot of exchangeable parts now here now in the so-called SWAC. You got players that are leaving, going to other schools, going to schools in that same division. This is what's going on with this transfer portal. It is all open and free to do what you want to do. You got to remember, they got additional year. Last year, didn't even count against their eligibility. So you got a lot of these players now taking advantage and saying, well, I'm going to transfer to Alabama A&M. They have won a championship. That's different. Get their rotation, put more players in place in there that had offensive linemen, that had defense, that had about 7 or 8 transfers since they won the championship. So that's the same thing what was said previously. The rich get richer. And they're getting richer because they're already not losing anybody. Nobody. And I think they had one player, if I'm correct, and Coach Evers pretty much close to that set as can be, and that lineman was I think, an outside linebacker. He put his name in the transfer portal. And if you want to just check and talk, Coach Evers, if you will, on that young man, he was first or second in sweat and sacks. If you can share some thought on that.
Say that again, Dr. Smith.
You had a linebacker that was either number one or number two in the SWAC in sacks in the transfer portal from Alabama A&M, going to another school, trying to go to another school. Are you aware of that?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'm aware of that. Our visiting line number 57. Now, that was very surprising to see that he wanted to go to another school because he had been having success. And he's an upcoming junior, so you got 2 years of eligibility left. So for you to say, I'm going to try to take it on to this next level. Now, I haven't heard where he went. I know, you know, a lot of people falling in place. The big-time DB from Alcorn, he popped in at Louisville. Alabama State receiver, he went to the Raging Cajuns in University of Louisiana, Monroe. Yeah. but that's once in a lifetime for you to go up, you know, and that, to have the success that he was having. One of the best pass rushers in the NFL came from Alabama A&M, which is Robert Mathis. So I don't think the venue was too, you know, how some venues would be too small for some players to be noted. If he would have had a heck of a year, Cushney, that's his name, Cushney, he would have been successful on a SWAC level and had a chance, at least a chance, for NFL career. But with him leaving, I think he sets himself back. It depends, but I'm going to see where he goes, Dr. Smith, and I'll reiterate on that on another show. So once I see where he goes, I'll talk about that.
May I say something into that?
Yes, sir.
Track?
Yes, sir.
Let's look at how this works. And I think that when you go to a SWAC school, and this probably adds on to what Coach Tremaine said as well, and have a little bit of success, a minimum of success, not only, as he said, the venue sometimes gets smaller and you want to get up to the high end, but I think it's an understanding of being able to win a SWAC championship and put your program at another level. Then that individual has to look out for himself, you know, because think about it now. If he could have been somewhere else, he never would have stopped at A&M. He never would have stopped at Alabama State University. So we have to reap the benefits when they drop down. We have to reap the benefits when they get ready to get out. It's going to be a place for everybody because it is enough schools for everybody. And let's look at this. The transfer portal now is giving everybody an opportunity to be recognized, and it says this. It does not matter where you come from. It's what you do where you came from. So he earned it right to make a decision because he has market value now. I mean, if that was my child, you would understand it. If that was a trained child, you would understand it. If it was your documents, you would understand. And the program understands. because there's one thing about it, no one individual indispensable, and one man out, another man in. So I think it, that's why I said I think in a broad perspective, it's going to have a system of balance for every level of school. So some kids are Division I minded, but Division II talented. Some kids are
exactly.
In Division II schools with Division I talent. So that part of it gives you a chance to manage yourself, give you a chance to put yourself in a situation to be notarized and be notable, and then it gives you an opportunity to move out if you want to. It is enough school
yeah.
for everybody. Nobody hurt. Just be mindful now. If that individual does not take a chance or on looking out for himself and his family, he may not ever get that chance again.
Exactly. Awesome, man. I think. And you can be a part of this conversation as well. That's 347-857-4192. Press 1, and you can be a part of the conversation, and we can talk with you, and you can chat with Coach Tony Stallworth, Touchdown Tony Stallworth, and the King, Coach Trey Edwards. And we just want to share some things with you. Give us a call, and I'll make sure I identify you after you press 1. With the last 4 digits of the cell or telephone number, and ask you to offer your location and offer your comments, your expertise. We're going to move to the next topic, and we're going to be a little swift tonight because we're going to get to a couple things here. Should this thought of the high profile NFL players be hired in the historical black college and university? And then on top of that, what does that do for that university by taking a chance and hire that individual who may not have any experience? Now, this is not the first time it has happened. It has happened in the past, but however, we're getting a large group of individuals taking interest, like Ray Lewis, taking interest and want to coach at the historical black college and university, and several other former Hall of Famers that are interested. What's your thoughts on the team?
I think the high-profile ex-NFL players, and to add to that, any NFL player that has been successfully done 5 years and gotten out injury-free should have an opportunity to be notable to come to HBCU, because we need them in more than one way. It's a recruiting tool. They're going to be high level because it's an opportunity for them to prove, and we may not keep them, but it's an opportunity for them to prove what? That they can coach, and if they channel in on building those programs, then if they are out of there and then get a job at the next level, it gives the athletic directors and the universities an opportunity to say this, here's where we are at this level because this is what he has done, and we want no less than to keep this level going. Then what you're doing now is you provide an opportunity for not only high-level ex-NFL players, but any level NFL player, because what it does is it keeps that level going. And then you bring in student-athletes that know that if they perform at the level of expectation and have some success, they get a chance because of that coach. Because everybody needs that pathway to get to the next level. So nobody loses there if it's done the right way. We need that. And those guys need that from us. So it's one of those situations where, hey, you know, it's a balanced playing field for everybody. We welcome that. I'm liking what I see with transfer portal versus ex-NFL player or any NFL player that has experience to come back to the HBCU. A lot of them feel like they should have gone that way and want to come back and they're not really looking for a whole lot of money. that helps everybody. But they can help that university economically, recruiting-wise, and as student-athletes feel more secure by performing at the higher level so he can get to the highest level. That's my take on that.
Exactly. Coach Trey.
I agree with some parts of that with Coach Stallworth. I don't like the rap that the guys that are high profile coaches get. Like, I'm looking at a guy like Eddie George coming in with no coaching experience, getting a head job at a college full of history in the sport of football as Tennessee State. That's a tough chance to take.
Can I say something, Coach Tremaine, right there?
Go ahead.
Let me just add to it. I agree that you disagree, and I think you got a very good point. But if he surround himself with enough experienced staff, couldn't that really benefit the university as well as him?
Because we all said it.
Our guys can't get hired because they don't have experience. But when we look at the NBA, when they're hiring the ex-players that don't have experience, we have to deal with it. I think the inexperience is fine as long as you got a good staff.
I agree totally right there. But it's
even with Nick Saban. Nick Saban said all the time, we are as good as our staff, and he don't want anybody on his staff that ain't trying to look to get somewhere else. Because you take some of those great coaches on around, and Nick don't have anybody on his staff that can't coach somewhere else, don't want to get a job. So I think to support what you're saying is, if they can come in with no experience and have some type of staff, don't just run everybody off. Hey, let's make this thing work. I'm your resource because I can benefit in more other ways. You got, hey, I got a good coordinator here. I got a good defensive coordinator here. Let's make this thing work as a team. I just want to add to what you're saying. That's all. Not disagreeing at all.
No, I understand that exactly. But like you're saying, Eddie George followed the right blueprint for me. Deion Sanders, he has a straight, but his staff isn't top tier like Eddie George's staff right now.
That's right.
And
I agree.
I mean, you know, he has legit guys, but they don't have the experience or coaching guru-ness. I'm gonna make a word for it. But
good,
like,
understand what
like
you're going. Keep going.
Exactly, and for those guys to consider even coming to a HBCU is a big thing too for Eddie George. But like you're saying, a lot of guys are following the blueprint. A lot of schools are following the blueprint. I'm gonna make a big hire. Now it's a gift or gab with it. Now it's gonna come with some foolishness. It's gonna high profile your school. It's gonna bring a lot of money to your school, because a lot of people like high profile coaches. Looking at Eddie George, coach a team. A lot of people from Tennessee, from Nashville, Tennessee, will be at those games to see Eddie George. Some want to see him win. Some want to see him lose. Jackson State will always have the highest attendance, which they were in the first place. People don't understand that. Jackson State attendance, the games were one of the highest in the SWAC. But when you put in a Deion Sanders doing a show every week, dude, you're gonna double that attendance. So it's a packed game. Now, as far as the athlete, now this is the key. Now I'm gonna give you another key to this. Now, what do you do with your lower level athletes, your homegrown kid, when you have a 4 or 5 star recruit that is transferring on top of them? How do you reflect that? How do you reenact that as a coach? Like, I know I'm coming in, I'm high profile, I'm trying to get high profile players, but is it fair to these 2 and 1 star kids that are from Jack, that are from Huntsville, Alabama? Is it fair that are from Montgomery, Alabama? Is it fair for those guys?
All right, so you are asking a question, right?
It's a question. Yeah.
Okay, here's my take on that. You can't have your cake and eat it too. If you want to hire a high-profile coach to come in to be a resource for you, to get your level of school up economically and be able to attract more high-profile athletes, that's a portal again. For any kid that cannot stay into that situation, that don't feel like since some of the HBCU schools are going that route now, then you need to go and figure out, hey, I'll probably get in the portal and get down somewhere that I know I can play my next 2 or 3 years and get up out of here. Or you need to make that decision. That's why it's so good that each individual understands where he or she is going before they go there, because the university don't owe you nothing after 1 year, because they'll change direction. Hell, they'll change coaches. They'll change AD.
Exactly.
So you have to always be able to look out for yourself in case there is a change. Ain't nothing promised.
Exactly.
I'll tell you that right now. I know that. I've been that route.
Let me add something to this, because you were talking pretty much about what they're trying to do and what needs to be done with our historical black colleges. You know where we are in 2020 in regards to some of the social justice movement, the injustice that we encounter. I think it's the right time for people like that to step down and come to this level, whether you have experience, because this is not the first time. We can't have like this first time. I don't understand how the coach that was a former NFL player didn't have no head coaching experience. But he averaged at least 7 wins a season. That was Reggie Bonner. He never had no coaching. But and if you can go back, splash. It's all about getting the splash. The splash is being able to have that dealership to invest in your athletic department some way to invest in. You know, I'm not talking about the place there. I'm talking about the headquarters. Or you look, for Montgomery, we need to splash high because you can get Hyundai to invest. Hyundai do not invest in ASU. So we've got to have somebody where people are going to think they're getting something out of it. Now, if he's going to come there, you know, he's supposed to be putting the best staff, and I think both of y'all said this, the best staff together that's going to coach. He got to coach there. Like, he's a CEO, and with too many head coaches trying to coach, like you coaching in high school, you going to have a high school mentality around that. You coach the coaches,
right,
and the coaches coach the players. And that's one of
the things.
That's
right. Give them responsibility. That's right.
That's right. And you're going to get out and speak for the program. You're going to be the one that do that. You know, like Nick said, we know he coaches some defense in the back, but he coaches the coach. That's why he can change coaches as much as he can do to still level players high. Think about that. Because he's coaching the coaches, and the coaches are coaching the players. So what we got to do is get somebody, if you're hired, you got to hire your staff in there that's going to work with you, that have experience, because most of these guys have experience. They may not be what we know them, but they have the experience, so they can coach these players. But they try to get as many big names so those guys can come there. It's all about putting your marketing campaign together. And if you ain't ready to get a splash high, you're not going to be able to compete. See, I applaud at this time out of A&M with the coach they have. When they hired him, you know, he had some experience, but he had 3 years under the belt. You got 3 years under your belt to put stuff together, and now the third year you want a championship, you can be up there with everybody, but everybody else is not going to be up there. Because you got to remember, I'm going to go to a situation, no one wants to talk about it, we're going to go to that situation. I'm going to say that split out over there in there 5 times. How many times did it be? 1. It is going to be another one coming up. Because of the maturity of the team. So you're talking about 5 or 6 years. You know, 5 out of 6 years, you have to beat your rival. That's hard to deal with, man. I don't care. But you got to get that splash high in there. You know, you can even do it this year, which nobody's going to do it. They're going to do it next year, man. And I know everybody said every 3 years, hell, coach ain't been in state no more than 3 or 4 years now. Coach don't stay there that long.
Well, you know,
if
I was in the city of Huntsville right now, and if I was looking for a good head coach at a high school level, I'd look at Tremaine. Why? Because at his level, he may not have a year at all of high school coach experience, but I'll give him a chance. Why? Because he has created a winning environment. And then I have supported him with a staff. When I won state championship, Brent, I had never been a head coach. I came from junior high and head coach left. But I embraced what I did at the junior high level and did a good enough job to show that I can create a winning culture. And you ain't going to ever have no experience unless somebody give you a chance.
That's all that asks you for.
You got to take a chance on people. You have to. Because there are too many so-called burnout coming from here, coming from there. They got a resume long here in the hospital of everywhere they've been and can't stay no damn well. I damn near better have me on inexperience. And half of them all over the world ain't done that.
Awesome. And that's a point. We're going to send it out to everybody up in Madison County in the Huntsville area so they can know that this young man is grinding, that the king is grinding. And his opportunity is going to come to him as well. So we have to look at that. Now, we want to move the agenda right quickly because there's a couple of things we want to get to. We want to get to some phases of the high school because we want to make sure we talk about that for sure. All right, we're going to move to the point about discussing the the state of Alabama having such a low vaccination rate, how would it affect college and high school attendance, football attendance, in the fall of 2021? Because you have to start planning now.
Is that low vaccine inclination rate? And are we talking about those that have not been securely taken the vaccine? Is that it?
No. You have 29% is fully vaccinated, 37% one shot. So that means the top side has not even been vaccinated yet. You got a low rate of people being vaccinated. I just want to get your thoughts in regards to how you're going to do with your attendance this fall. Are you going to open up? And what is advertisement on there by the health department is that Nick Saban is talking about get everybody vaccinated so we can have 100,000 people in the state. But if we're not on track. I don't believe we're on track for it. Because the numbers are not looking at that point. So we just want to talk about it. How is it going to affect this fall attendance? Are we going to just open it back up, or are we going to take time to make sure that we still follow our protocol and keep out? Because I know ASU has already put something out about tailgating, talking about only 25%. That's all that's going to be allowed in the tailgate. I don't know how you're going to control it. But we'll see.
Good.
Well, they got to worry about one person. So I'm just saying, I want to see how they're going to control 25%. You know, it's hard to control the area that's open to this. But what's your thoughts on that? I just want to see how y'all feel about how that goes. Yes.
Let me please share something that I am on the board of trustees at Huntington College, and we met on last week. And, of course, the Board of Trustees is always receiving reports from the university on how they're going to go forward in everything. And, of course, the topic now is in-person classes and vaccination. What they are implementing is, first of all, they're staying within all of the NCAA, NAIA, and all of their conference regulations when it comes to what they are doing. And
yes.
What they are doing is making sure they start in-house in other words, they have 96% of faculty that has gone through, 80% of staff and 96% of faculty, which is over 50% that have set the standard of having what you call, I don't mind my child being at this university because they are taking care of themselves. So it starts with what you're going to do, creating that environment to make sure that athletics can go forward from that. Now, as Board of Trustees, we feel very secure. We feel like, you know what? They have shown that they are going to be a representative of being vaccinated, and the numbers, and whoever makes the choice, that's them. And what the university is going to do is say, okay, here we go. This is not mandated. We put this in place, and here what we're going to do for athletes. We're going to recommend, because of going into normalcy, that each one of our student athletes has one or two of the vaccinations, because you have to be careful how you are required. You can't, when you start becoming required and you're spending federal funds and you're on a MCA mandate, you're requiring you're on the conference regulation, you're going to be on an island by yourself. You're going to be requiring that and you don't have no attendance. So I think what everybody's going to do is, just like you said, Alabama State University is, and I'm glad to have 25% of any damn thing. 15 months ago, we had no percent. We just have to gradually, just like in churches, work our way back to where we need to be. And I'm going to say this, when you make a choice to not take it, that's your individual choice. Nobody should have anything to say about that. But when you're in an environment that has made a choice, somebody could say something about you. So, you know, I'm retired. Dr. Smith, you're retired. Man is not retired. So it's kind of hard for you to be a representative of a high number of vaccination incurred in yourself, and give your student athletes an opportunity to say, well, you know, our coach has done this. So Dr. C and me, you, we don't have to leave home. We won't. And thank God for electronics. But I think it starts within how you present, how you set a standard first to make sure that athletics fall. Because I'm going to tell you something now. Without athletics, especially in private school, it's hard to survive. Very hard to survive. And at Hampton, there's no scholarship.
Exactly.
It works differently.
Exactly.
So I'm just showing that, you know, it starts with you setting the standard of an academic university first by saying what your faculty is doing, what your staff is doing, what your main department is doing. And then I guarantee you that percentage in athletics that might be 50%, because you can get 80% in athletics if you go to basketball and you got what, the 50 or 12 of them doing it, you damn near got 95% now. So it's the percentage in athletics can generate a lot quicker than the overall percentage of faculty and overall percentage of student population. So it can get there. It can't come in with it, but I think it gradually, and I'm just glad to see some normalcy. This has been horrific.
And not to cut y'all, Brother Starr, thank you so much for that. We have and this young man, I want to make sure, because I'm looking at the number, and it looks like his number, so I want to make sure he's joining us now.
I'm not going to say anything else.
Is this Brother Marvin Smith? Are you joining us now, Marvin?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I wanted to make sure I saw his number. Now, but I saw him talking. You've been on that about 2 or 3 minutes listening to him. So I want to make sure I get you in here. Make sure your introduction comes.
Okay,
not
you
going to
say
out of
anything
the
tonight.
Awesome
Smith,
young man.
Dr. Smith.
Dr. Smith.
Now, Starworth just lied just then on your show. He said he didn't say nothing else the rest of the night. He lied on your show that day, man. I'm like Stephen A. Smith. He just lied on your show that day.
He just told a lie. He just told a lie, but that's all right. We know he's going to step out, so we need him when he gets to that. We want to talk a little bit about that high school and that middle school. So that lie, you're right, that lie showed up. And quickly, I want y'all to join in and add to what was being said. The key to this topic is about the population that are attending the games. Those are the keys, because we know our athletes will probably move forth and the school will work with them. But and which is there, but when you come to being able to put 100,000 people in a stadium when you don't have a 29,000 fully vaccinated, maybe 35, it ain't gonna jump that fast because we had 4 or 5 months of it already and the numbers not increasing. That's kind of where I want to kind of look at this. What effect will it have on college? You know, just like ASU already put out only 25% in their tailgating area, it's going to be about 50 to 75 come in the stadium, but it's not going to be at full capacity because of the numbers. I just want your thoughts. We're going to take about a minute, and we're going to move to a couple other topics that we really, really want to get to. Coach Edwards, I think he was jumping in, and then Coach Marvin, you come on in after that.
All right, Dr. Smith, I'm with you right there. Like the NBA is in change their criteria. You know, I'm watching games now. The crowd is it's tight. You know what I'm saying? And they in the top tier state. Like New York. I mean, New York was one of the hardest hit areas during the pandemic. And they're wide open in their bow face. That's what I say about my bow face. That means you ain't got no mask on. They in their bow face. So, I mean, I don't know if they vaccination rates are shooting out the roof. But I think we're going to be back to 75 to 100% for this fall. Like you just said, the numbers have went down. Not as many people got the shot, but somehow the numbers are going down. So if we can get those vaccination numbers up to at least 60 or 70%, I think they're open wide open, Dr. Smith, because right now we're operating on 28, 29. I know New York right here percent is 44, 45%, and they wide open in a basketball, an NBA basketball game. So
and
I
just
think
one thing to that, Trey, let me add to it. They do have a section for people. The people have been vaccinated, and people are not. So it is not just everybody. They're probably not showing those section of people. You notice all the players and coaches still are in masks. basically, if you look on the sideline, but it's a section they have. They're letting some come in, and it's in both areas. But that's one of the things I want y'all to bring out, is that we're going to have to operate with both. We've been operating before then. Coach Tom wasn't doing football season. He ain't had no vaccination in. People still were going to games. See what I'm saying? So we got to learn to live with this. Don't point at somebody if they don't. What you have is a choice they make, and I just want us to kind of address. Mama, jump in right there, because we want to kind of move forward with this and make sure we.
Hello?
Hello, I hear you. Go ahead, my brother.
Okay. But now I was just thinking that what y'all was saying is it doesn't. If we know or we don't know if the person is vaccinated or not, the thing is, I'm going to be careful. You're going to be careful. So it's right now, it's a careful world. Who do I come around? Who I want to be around? Do I want to be in this crowd over here? Do I feel safe over here, this crowd over here? So regardless of how many people they put in the stadium, you still got to have a choice to you wants to go or not. And the way the things are shaping up, they finna open up these stadiums, man. And it's about the money right now. I lost enough money. I'm finna get my money back. When Nick Saban said, "Go get the shot for everybody to be in the stadium," the governor of Alabama spoke, and everybody finna go do it.
And that's one of the things, like Coach Stover said earlier, you know, that's going to be a choice of everybody to make a decision. At this time, this is a downtime because we really don't have anything. But we'll know what the fourth wave is going to be coming in here from Memorial Day to Labor Day. Just keep an eye on the numbers then, because the numbers are going to really grow during that time. That's when they grew last year. But that's a whole other topic. I want to kind of end that because I want to kind of move forward, and I want to kind of skip over to the section on high school. And I want Brother Starworth to kind of share with anybody else in regards to part of this team, in regards to talking about the changes that was made at our top at the Alabama High School Athletic Association, any other news that can be shared about even about spring sports, fall sports, or whatever. He's our resident expert, and we want him to kind of share his thoughts in regards to it. Mr. Starwood.
Let me just say this, Brother Marvin, thank you so very much for channeling in. We thank you. I thank you for Dr. Smith and myself because we know that you're making a sacrifice because you're at your workplace, too, and you're communicating. That's to be commended. We appreciate that. Let me just say that. We don't always agree. One thing about it, we'll find a way to work it out, right?
I knew you weren't going to stop talking.
I think I want to take a few minutes to educate our listeners and also all of us on how that whole situation worked back in the 60s when the federal court made a mandate ruling because the Alabama High School Athletic Association was ran by two folks. It was ran as everything else, black versus white. And when the federal government saw what was going on and was asked to intervene, what they did was they put the pressure back on the association to make sure that all is in one. And the federal government mandated that the executive director had to be a Caucasian American and the associate executive director had to be an Afro-American. Mr. Steve Severi, thank God for him, being an Italian, saw things a lot different. And he felt in should be equal opportunity for any and all. And the two of us discussed that, and he told me before he leave that office, he was going to make a recommendation that it changes to whoever gets to be the executive director, whether it's Caucasian or Afro-American, the other one would be the other. So that is a significant change, and that he should be applauded for that. So that change, if he got out, that might have never been made. So now we can look at it, a system of equality now. Alvin Briggs, of course, succeeded me. He sat in that seat as the associate executive director. Mr. Savary, surely, and I'm not speaking for him, recommended. Well, how can you not recommend a guy that you recommend to be your associate executive director? Because the associate director is just like assistant principal to a school or assistant coach to a team. Especially when you put the years in, if you qualify to be that, you ought to be qualified for leadership or being having experience. So what it did was it gave Alvin timely for Alvin to Mr. Briggs, let me say that, to be a part of that. And now Mr. Briggs will successfully be the next or the first African-American to lead the entire state of Alabama in high school athletics. Let me just say this. The Alabama High School Athletic Association is a private entity that is a part of Alabama Athletics, and it is one of probably the most highly marketable private entity there is in the state of Alabama. That's why when people decide they want to sue or not be a part of the bylaws, you have to be real, real careful because you're up for a heck of a challenge. And the next thing is, he has gone forward, two of us talk all the time, and made his staff and kept equality and the balance of the number of Afro-Americans in that office where it is. And I think it behooves all of us to support him in his position because it is a major change. And thank God I was able to see it. And I commend him because I want to tell you something. It's easy to make the decision, but it's going to be a challenge because everybody don't accept changes and everybody intentionally don't want change because they've traditionally been living on the way things have been for so long. I can tell you that from being in church. You know, some people just believe in just the way we always done it. And we don't need
exactly.
That. So I just want to say thank God for allowing me to see a change made in a workplace that I worked in that I didn't think would ever be that way. And it's going to be challenging, and he's going to be challenged because of who he is, but he can get through it. People eventually will accept things as long as you're doing things by the bylaws. Thank you, Mr. Exactly. for allowing me to speak on that.
Thank you, Coach Dover, for sharing that. Any other thoughts on that, want to add to that or take away from that? How do you feel? Just share your thoughts on it, brother. Mom and as well as brother Trey, Coach Martin, Coach Trey is jumping in right now.
Hey, I just want to say, man, I am ecstatic. I'm happy that Mr. Bridge has the opportunity to lead the Alabama High School Athletic Association, being a Black person. It's almost as exciting when we got the new mayor, we got Mayor Stephen Reed. His changes is happening, but once we get in the position where the change can happen, things gonna start changing for the good or for the bad. And people probably expect different things, but I just wanted them to do the right thing. It ain't about different things, just about doing the right thing in the right way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that he's going to do a excellent job. I really feel he's been taught, he's been in that position, and even Coach Starwood himself, if he probably had stayed long enough, we'd probably be talking about him. You know, truth be told.
Yeah, we've been talking about that old dude.
You know, we'd be talking about him probably the executive director. You know what I mean? So
yeah, there you go.
It was a situation to where the right people was in the right place.
That's right.
So
that's
I'm
right.
just excited and happy to see it myself, and I think that it's gonna, you know, make some things happen, make people open their eyes to certain things, and just the fact that hey, man, we've been behind the eight ball so long. It's good to see us. Somebody, one of us, just being Black, it ain't nothing to rest, but just to be on top. just to be, just to show that we can do it too. Because they arguing right now in the NBA. Stephen A. Smith walked off the set this morning because Brad Stevenson is coming right off the coaching bench and going right to be an executive. They was arguing this morning.
Yes, sir.
Just to get a chance.
Come on.
Instead of him getting his ass fired, he got damn promoted. That's right.
Yeah, got promoted. You don't get fired. You get promoted. And that's what it's all about.
You're right.
You know, right here, thanks so much, Brother Marvin. We're going to ask Coach Trey to jump in right now and share his thoughts on this, and we're going to kind of move forward and talk about one more topic. Our time is very tight. Thank Coach Stallworth and Coach Smith for sharing their thoughts on that, because it's very important in these times we're having. Sometimes we run into a situation when we are qualified to be told we're overqualified and never get the job. And we know how that works if you've been in the game long enough. Coach Trey, you want to jump in right and share your thoughts on that, dealing with your kind of new ball at the top.
Yeah. I agree totally with Coach Marvin and Coach Stallworth. Hiring Coach Bridges for that position is big time. That's a big time move. I ain't going to hold you up, Dr. Smith. You go ahead.
Awesome, awesome. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is pretty much in regards to Alabama A&M. I have to talk about it. They won the SWAC championship. Well, we wasn't known when they won the championship, if I'm not mistaken. But I want to kind of talk about it a little bit and see what a possibility, what would be your prediction or your thoughts about in 2021 in regards to that team. Now, I know everybody want to talk, but we're going to give Coach Trey, since he was short on that stuff, kind of share some things in regards to being up there and winning the SWAC championship in the year of 2021, but actually it was 2020 season. Coach Trey, can you jump in right there, and then we'll let everybody else jump in after that, and we'll get ready to wrap it up.
Yes, totally. Little buzz. There's a little buzz in Huntsville, Alabama. A&M has it. With the football team winning the 2020 SWAC championship and then them building our new basketball arena, A&M is getting a lot of buzz up towards this way. Predictions for next year, A&M is right now championship game or bust. I know we got two newcomers on our side, but I still, like you said, Dr. Smith, due to maturity, I think A&M has a big chance to win the SWAC again. And the only team you don't know about that you haven't seen are the two MEAC schools, the only three teams, the two MEAC schools and Alcorn. So we're going to see what those Braves are talking about this year. On the western side, we're going to see what the Rattlers and the Wildcats are talking about on the eastern side. So I'm very excited about the SWAC, but I'm go Bulldogs. I got the Bulldogs pick to win SWAC championship, or we're going to bust.
All right. Coach Word and Coach Smith, jump on in tonight when you choose to be first or second.
Go ahead, Smith. I'm talking up, and sometimes I just get too far. Go ahead. I may not be here every other week.
I'm gonna go. He's a little long-winded, so. But
yeah,
I'm looking forward to the SWAC this year, man. I tell you, man, it's got to be – A&M looks very good, very, very good. Them Bulldogs on that hill look very good. But my sleeper is Alabama State because of them freshmen. If them freshmen get the reps and get the continuity of them playing together for a whole season like they did this past spring, that offensive line and – defensive line and the quarterback. And it's all about their recruiting, too. So who coming in the fall that's going to make a difference. But, man, it's gonna be tough. It's interesting to go watch the SWAC this year. I think people want to go watch the HBCU this year because ESPN put them out there, the product, to let everybody know what HBCU got. So I'm ready to see it. I'm ready to see what's going on.
Awesome, awesome, man. Thank you so much. Let's start working.
Well, I'm going to say this. And I'm going to say it with a sense of relief. I'm going to say this. With a sense of commitment.
Come on, Stephen A. Smith.
I'm so glad I went to ASU. I just can't help it. I can't help it. I had an uncle of mine that one time he was teaching school, and he had a problem sometime of cannot differentiate his relationship with young, beautiful girls on campus. He just one time got carried away. They called him off one time and said, Mr. Starwell, you have the same problem over and over again. He looked at him and said, you know what? I just can't help myself. And what they told him, we can't help you for getting your ass up out of here, too. So I just want to let you know, it does not matter who wins it. My pride is all concrete. And Dr. Smith will tell you, we long-lasting. And when we hear that old paper song, we can be down 30, as usually we are, and we still swinging and rocking and saying, give me that old Bama State spirit. That's all I got to say, Dr. Smith. I told you I'd be short.
Sure, true is, you know, it's within the
true
black and gold, but we also have to be a little realistic here, too, as well. Since I'm going to give my point of view here, I'm going to go with the more mature team that also already won. Like Coach Trey said, something very important. It's championship or bust. And when you got six-year players and five-year players, and they know how to win, it's going to be tough for a young team to come in there and change that. But I'm going to be all black and gold the rest of my day. So the thing about it, I just see there is going to be another year before we have a chance to sit on that top. And I think in 22, that black and gold will sit on the top because all of those guys will be gone up on that hill. And we'll be so sad of getting rear end with 4 or 5 years. It'll be 5 years that we'll be able to get back in the game. So it'll be important that we look at it that way. We see some success going on at each and every one of those schools. I'm looking forward to seeing what Alcorn going to do because they get a chance to play on week zero. They get a chance to play North Carolina Central in the SWAC and MEAC Challenge. So we're kind of new because all they have been doing is sitting out, practicing like every day, just like they were going to play a game. So you remember, they could go through a full screen while they were still playing. The other teams are playing in the SWAC for the championship. So that's something the Philip Cookman, Florida A&M, we have to consider what they're going to bring because you haven't seen it. So we'll see exactly how it's going to be. It's going to be awesome in the SWAC. So check them out. The Southwest Athletic Conference have now 12 teams, 6 in the West, 6 in the East. The addition of FAMU coming from the MEAC and Bethune-Cookman coming from the MEAC going to join the east side of the conference along with Alcorn moving to the west. So it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a big-time battle. So watch it this fall. We want you to check it out. If you can't put your meat in your seat, make sure you check it out at home. Put your meat on the couch and check it out. That's what it's all about. And we just want to say it's an awesome schedule that ESPN already have set up for the first week. And he's just talking about all of those SWAC schools, Alcorn playing, as you know, North Carolina Central, Southern playing Troy, Bethune-Cookman playing UTEP. You got Jackson State playing FAMU. You got all this happening that first week. Alabama State playing Auburn. All of that going on, Bethune-Cookman and UCL. You got Grambling against Southern Mississippi, Texas Southern against Baylor, Grambling against Houston, FAMU against South Florida, Alcorn against South Alabama, Jackson State against Louisiana Monroe. Oh, man, I tell you, that's an awesome first week schedule. It's going to be good. So check them out. Check the SWAC in the MEAC out. We applaud all of the coaches, the communities of all of these schools for what you're doing. Continue to practice your protocol and you can get vaccinated, get yourself vaccinated, and I know all the coaches and all the staff are going to be working toward that. So we look forward to seeing an awesome fall coming up here, whether you're sitting in the stadium or you're meeting in the city, you're at home, you meet on the couch. We look forward to your support. It's been awesome tonight. I'm going to thank the co-hosts, and I want each one of them to share, to take a 30-second and say their goodbyes, and we'll see them in 2 weeks because we want them to make do what they do. Let's keep this thing going. So we'll start with Coach Trey. You jump in, then Coach Marvin, and then we're going to let the man and wrap that up. No, it's Coach Touchdown Tony Stallworth coming in here to wrap that up in the closing.
Is that supposed to be me? That's my key. Okay. Oh, man. Hey, let me just take time out to say I appreciate, Dr. Smith, everything that you do with the podcast, man, and everything that you're doing with all your shows. I don't get a chance to see all of them live, but I do peep in. I just wanted to support my frat brother and just let you know, man, to keep up the good work that you are doing. And I feel real bad that I didn't win that first trip to Orlando or Atlanta. Lord, I was trying to win. But anyway, you just keep doing what you're doing, man. And I appreciate what you're doing. And just keep doing what you're doing, man.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. Coach Trey.
I got you. Dr. Smith, great show tonight. We hit a couple hot topics. We left a couple out, but I'm ready for them next week, Dr. Smith. Glad to be back. Glad to be here. Y'all have a great night.
Awesome. And a touchdown, Tony Stallworth.
I'm always elated to be a part of such great voices and professional colleagues and people of integrity and people that are always prepared to intervene on topics of discussion and not afraid to put the word out there. But I want to say this, and I want to say it respectfully. Do we ever ask TD Touchdown anything that you don't want to hear? Because old folks say I tell it like a T-I-S-E, and I go on by my business. But anyway, I tell all of my friends, all my family, and all of my enemies, do have a nice day. You take the day, and don't let the day take you. I'm out.
Awesome, awesome. Each and every one of y'all, thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to give a shout-out to those individuals that's on Facebook and Instagram. But I want to say this, and thank Brother Marvin for bringing it up. Brother Marvin brought up that we are still taking your cash out. We have three more raffles that we're giving away. We're going to give away, and I want to say for the winner of the first raffle, Tara Pickett won it, and she selected and chose to go to Atlanta, Georgia for 3 days and two nights. What we have left now, we have the trip to Orlando, 3 days and two nights. We're paying for the hotel and the taxes. You're responsible for the travel and eat. That's going to be a raffle on the 30th of June. So make sure you cash out. Is it to me. You get it to me by you can email it to LorenzaDSmith15@gmail.com. That's LorenzaDSmith15@gmail.com. If you're on Facebook, you can DM me. You can DM me and let me know this is my cash app. I want you to put it in. But we also want to sow a seed. You can also get it to me by texting Truly to me, and the number for the office is 334-567-7261. Let's make sure you get that in. We're so glad to have an opportunity to give away these trips. We're going to give away that trip on June 30th, which is to Orlando, Florida, 3 days and two nights. And we will raffle that off. Then in the month of July, we're going to raffle off two adult bikes. We can get one of those two bikes that we're going to have. It's going to be in the middle of the month, somewhere around the 15th of July. And then August 1st, we will have our last giveaway for, at this point, that will be a 4 days and three nights. You're taking care of the hotel along with the taxes. You take care of your travel needs. Two places, you're going to have two choices. You can go to North Beach, South Carolina, or Gatlinburg, Tennessee. So get your cash outs in to me. You can make sure you do it DM. If you're on Instagram, all you have to do is go to the question mark box, the comment box, and leave it with you. with me, and I'll make sure, but just get it into me so we can have a ball, because we will, and we're going to give away troop number two to Orlando, Florida, and by using your cash out, it goes into the big barrel so we can make sure you get a spin it so you get a chance to be selected. That is Orlando, Florida, June the 30th. We're going to raffle that one off 3 days and two nights and take care of the hotel and the taxes. And then in the month of July, July 15th, we're going to make sure we raffle off two adult bites. Your name from the cash out. You're taking them. If you're in here now, just go keep on till we find a winner. And then on August the 1st, we're going to be giving away 4 days and three nights to either Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Gatlinburg, Tennessee. We take care of the hotel and the taxes. You take care of your travel. This is what we want to get those cash app to me. You can do it. Comment through Facebook. You can comment through Instagram. We want to give a shout out to all of those individuals. We had several people that was live on Instagram as well as Facebook. We want to give a shout out to these individuals. Instagram has moved forward. We don't have an hour or so to do this, and we do it. We want to give a shout out to Faye Treadwell Smith. Thank you, member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. We have the Queen Ministry Lewis. Also the host of Minister Shannon Show. Thank you for joining us. Also, I want to give a shout out to Carol Davis joining us. It's always good to have Carol on. Thank you so much, Carol, for being a part of this. Then we have Latay Pickett, Inspire to Inspire, member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority. It is a pleasure to have you. You inspire me. You make sure that we'll be moving forward. Thank you so much for joining us. We had many others that was on that kind of my Instagram went out. But for all of y'all, thank you so much. We'll be back here for sure on tomorrow at 1 o'clock, the Dr. Lowe's neighborhood. And we're going to talk some more about how you really feel in regards to the relationship. Relationship. What do you need to know, or what do you need? Part two. It's awesome. Thank you so much. We want you to have a truly blessed night. And we will check you out in 2 weeks for our show. We do it every 2 weeks. The first and third week of the month, Wednesday. We do that. We make sure we get it out to you. So have an awesome rest of the night. We had college sports heading toward a new normalcy. We talked about some topics. You'll be blessed. And hashtag be responsible. Come on now. Hashtag one life matter. Hashtag keep on grinding. Hashtag communicate for understanding. Hashtag it's a mindset. And hashtag making sure you do what you do. It's all make it do what it do. It's awesome. I'm glad to be here. Send out the virtual hug to your family member. Tell them you love them. It's virtual. If it's not face-to-face, you just tell them you love them. Give them that hug and vice versa. We want you to do all of that because the truth of the thing is nothing anybody can do by how you feel. Truly, truly, I want everybody to know that, you know, we go through some challenging times. We're going through it right now. But we know our best days are truly ahead of us. And as I close out, like always, check us out on tomorrow at 1 o'clock. I call it noonish time, 1 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, the Dr. Lewis Show, Relationship. What do you mean, part two? As I say to all of you as we close out, I love you.
You may think that it's over, that your life is done.
The best is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge, your battle's already won.
Yeah.
Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end.